Exodus. And so you're free to turn to Exodus chapter 5, that's page 44, and just go ahead and leave that open. We'll read that in just a moment. Actually it was 2 years ago, Sosa and I did something that I had wanted to do for years, but I'd never done before, and that was actually take a trip down the coast, Highway 1. Has anyone done that drive where we just did a short part of it up from Pismo to Carmel, and we try to stop at these awesome vista points. And you at the vista points, you're just a little higher than other spots, and you just get to see things from just an amazing view. Now, with the advent of drones, we can even get a higher view. I mean, look at that. That's Yosemite. And you don't get that view when you come out of the tunnel. That's just a little bit higher up. But I don't know if that came from a plane or, again, from a drone. But one of the things you see is that the best views come from where? They come from the top. It's top down. You look down, and you can see, you know, amazing things. I mean, this is why when you go to New York City, where do you go? You go to the Empire State Building, and you look out. Because you can see the entire city. If you've been to Lebanon, how many of you have been on the Tel Farik? Anybody been on the Tel Farik? This is in, I think it's Juni. You go up from the shore and you go up to, there's a big statue at the top of church, and you look out and you can see just the beauty of the city with the ocean, and then you can see the mountains behind you. I mean, even Fresno. Yep, that's right. Even Fresno. I'll never forget visiting someone in the hospital. I think they were, I can't remember if they were on the fifth or sixth floor of St. Agnes. And this is an older gentleman, and he just said to me, "Bodvili, I really wish I was out of here. But you know, well, as long as I'm here, I mean, did you see the view? That's really the, apart from getting better at the hospital, one of the best things about being in the hospital is the view from whether it's community or say that, you're up higher. Even Clovis Community, you can see out and say, oh, wow, there, look at this. There's more, and if you look, that's not Fresno, that's New York. Oh, there's Fresno, there it is. And that's our city. When you look from above, it's incredible. When you fly into Fresno, you think, wow, look at this is our valley. Especially now when everything is so green. But one of the tricky things, and it's frequently the case with God, he takes our experience here on earth, where the best view is from the top, and he turns it on its head. So that actually the best view of God is from the bottom. Have you noticed that? That it's during the times that we're not up so high, but we actually are on the bottom in the, you know, some of our deepest difficulties, our most challenging places, the worst situations, it's from the bottom up that we most clearly see him. Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, because we're flat on our backs. Well, if that's what it takes, is it worth it to you to be low so you can see God more clearly? That's a question I want you to think about. Is it worth it to get the best view of God? And that's from the bottom. Well, as we continue in Exodus, boy, it starts bad and gets worse. Let me just read the first verse of Exodus chapter 5, and we'll be reading through longer passages, but chapter 5, verse 1, afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival for me in the wilderness. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival for me in the wilderness." See, in the book of Exodus, we see God wanting to reveal himself, God intentionally revealing himself, God arranging and orchestrating our lives so that we would see him, so that people of Israel would see him as a deliverer, not just someone who makes promises, but someone who saves. And I just want to ask you, have you experienced that in your life? I mean, the testimonies that we heard this morning, three different people from three different perspectives of God finding them and saving them. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced God's rescue or God's deliverance? Chapter 4 ended. The pretty interesting thing, I didn't preach about it last week, I'm not really going to focus on it, but God tells Moses he's going to head back to Egypt. He's getting ready to go, and then we read that in chapter 4, verse 24, at a lodging place on the way back to Egypt, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. Whoa, this whole thing is going to be short-circuited really fast if God kills his man. Well, it had to do with circumcision, and Moses' non-Hebrew wife saves his life by circumcising their children. Now, that's interesting that Moses, God's man being sent to Egypt to deliver the people of Israel, had not identified himself and his family with the people of Israel. And it really is important that if we're going to walk consistently with God, you know, this happened 3,500 years ago, but we've got to keep in mind that it's pretty much the same way to walk with God, and that's that you obey what God says. God had told Moses, God had told Abraham, God had told the people of Israel that you are to circumcise your children. You are to be set apart for me. Moses hadn't done it, and God said, I'm not about to use you. You are not going to be my servant without obedience. So if you get nothing else today, just remember, if you know something that God wants you to do, do it. Do it, because you're going to be, the view you're going to have from God from the bottom is not going to be very clear if you're not obedient. Second thing, it says that just before chapter 5 begins, it's Moses and Aaron brings together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything God had said to Moses. He also performed signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that God was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. So they had the signs, they got the staff. So remember to pay attention to God. God has revealed himself in his word. God has revealed himself in your circumstances, in the context of the ministry of the church. God is revealing himself. Pay attention. Pay attention. And when he says something, believe him. Believe him. They showed the signs, and it says they believed, which is exactly what God said they would do. And then finally, this is just amazing. When they had heard that God was concerned about them and that he had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. Okay, should we stop right now? This is it. Keep it simple. Obey. Pay attention. Believe and worship him. This is our God. This is our God. This is the God that is calling Moses and Aaron to come and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he says, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And it seems like things are just, it's up and to the right. Things are just going to go great from here on. Moses has survived the incident. He circumcised his son. It's going to just get better and better. So he goes and he tells Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. And so they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a three-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave the order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They're lazy. Another translation says, they're slackers. That is why they're crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the people so they keep working and pay no attention to lies. It gets worse. They were already what? What did God hear? God heard their what? Their groanings, their cries. It was bad. Moses comes in. You know, he's not killing anybody. He tried that one. That didn't work. Now God's bringing him back to the people, and he is going to be their deliverer. He goes, does exactly what God says, and exactly what God says happens. Remember, God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart so he will know me. I love how Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? Who's Yahweh that I should obey? It's like, I don't know him. And I'm reading this and thinking, oh, but you are going to know him. Everybody in Egypt is going to know who Yahweh is. See, he is the Lord. Remember, I am? That's God's name. I am Yahweh. Gets bad because the people that Pharaoh had enlisted to watch over the Hebrew slaves were actually Hebrews. These are the overseers. These are the people that the children of Israel would have looked at as their betrayers. Remember, it's the same as in the Gospels, where remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector? Who did this Jewish tax collector work for? Rome. How popular do you think he was? So these are the Hebrews, like, okay, you're going to take care of your people. You get your people in line. They're going to work harder. They've now, in addition to making their bricks, they are going to make it with their own straw. They're going to have to find them. They say, come on, we are not lazy. This is not good. This is not good. This is not good. And they figure out, you know what? What's changed? You know, there's only one thing that's changed. These two brothers have shown up. They did a few little tricks with a stick. They told us God was going to deliver us. You know what? We better go take. We're going to take these guys out. So they come to Moses and Aaron. The Israelite overseers realized that they were in trouble when they were told you were not to reduce the number of bricks required each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting for them, and they said, may the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious or odious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. What do you do when things go from bad to worse? What do you do? There's usually two options. Frequently, when things go from bad to worse, we turn from God. I know I'm not alone. When it gets hard, when you think you're obeying him, you're doing what he wants you to do, you're actually obeying to the letter, and things get worse. God, what is going on? Actually, I'm at my best when I ask God what's going on. Frequently, we just stop talking. Anybody else stop talking? If God's like that, then I'm just going to... The other option is to share your heart. The other option is to pour out your heart and say, like Moses. Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people. And I love how he says this. And you have not rescued your people at all. Not even like a little bit, God. Not even a little bit. Does God get nervous when we are honest with him? To say, uh-oh, they might walk away from me. Oh, no. He can take it. He can take it. He has no problem with us being honest with him. When things go from bad to worse, please don't pull away from him. Please don't quit. Please don't get quiet. Come to him and push in and say, God, why? Why? How is this supposed to work out? I don't get it. Be honest with him. He knows what's going on. And he's not threatened for a second. Listen how God, to the way the Lord responds, said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. Here it comes again. I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Yahweh, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Cana, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. See, God says, I am the Lord, and I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. This is how I revealed myself to Abraham. I am the God who makes promises. I am the Almighty. I am Yahweh. Everything you need, Moses, what? Oh, wow. Sorry, wake the person up next to you. Everything you need, Moses, I am. You've got nothing to fear. I have got this. Do you notice he hasn't answered Moses' question why? Because why is irrelevant. Go ahead and ask him, but he may not answer you. Because God is still doing everything on plan. He is going to fulfill his purpose. He is the Lord Almighty. He is Yahweh. I have heard and I have remembered. Nothing has changed. But wait, things have gotten worse. Now we have to go get straw. Everyone's complaining, Lord. They believed a moment ago. Now what do we? Nothing's changed in God. Our circumstances may go up, down, all over the place. Our circumstances may change. But the only thing that matters is that God does not change his plan and his purpose. He is fulfilling them. He goes on to say, therefore, you will say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. There it is again. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. I will be your God. See, God is staying the same. See, we see him best when it gets worse. See, we can get nervous when things become more difficult. But when it goes from bad to worse, if we'll open our eyes, we'll see that God is unchanging and that he's keeping on with his plan. He's keeping on with his plan. And here it is. He says, then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the yoke of the Egyptians. Then you will know. It starts out with Pharaoh saying what? I don't know who Yahweh is. Well, it turns out the people don't know him either. They don't know him. I love this. He says, they will know. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him. Did you hear that? Moses reported this, all of this. Where are we? He reports all of this to the Israelites, that they are going to know the living God, and they do not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Okay. Don't show your hands. But I believe that the majority of us, when we hear these promises, we don't believe them. Because we're so discouraged by our circumstances. Because we're going as high as we can go, looking out from the top down, seeing all that's going on around us, looking down. That it's easy to miss the one who's looking to us saying, I'm still the same. Yes, I still hear you. Yes, I know things have gone from bad to worse. But I'm still the same. Don't get mad at people. If you try to encourage them in their discouragement, you know how this story goes. How does God respond to their unbelief? Does he say, okay, I'm going to just wipe this clean. I think there's a group a little south of them. Maybe I'll pick up the, I don't know, maybe there's another group, the Ethiopians. I think they're pretty neat. I think I'll go after the Ethiopians. I'll just forget this promise to Abraham. It gets a little dangerous to say what I'm about to say. But you need to know it. That even in the face of your unbelief, God is unchanging. God is faithful. God is still the Lord. He keeps his promises. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Then the Lord said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go. Moses says, if the Israelites won't listen to me, why is Pharaoh going to listen to me? Since I speak with faltering lips. He's the Lord. He is our God, and we see him best, not from up on top, but we see him best from the bottom. In just a moment, we're going to come to the table. We're going to come to the table. And at this table, we celebrate God, who instead of just staying up high, what did he do? Christ came, humbled himself, became a servant. Christ came, and he did not despise the cross. He looked ahead to the resurrection. God became a human being. He took the bottom spot, the lowest spot ever. And that's because he's the Lord. The view of the living God is much clearer on the bottom. In the face of your challenge, in the face of your failure, in the face of other people failing you, know that God's just getting started. He's just getting started. We look up to him. He's going to accomplish his plan. He is going to fulfill his purposes. He is the Lord. Amen. I'd like to ask those who will be serving